Would you clap your hands unto Jesus, everybody? Come on, let's give God praise in this house. He is worthy of the highest praise today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our voice and praise Him. He's worthy this morning. Hallelujah. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is worthy of exaltation and praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What an awesome conference. How many of you have been blessed by the preaching of the word of the Lord? My Lord, my Lord. I am so blessed to be here at Winter Fire 2005 and thank all of you for your wonderful invitation, hospitality. I don't know why I'm here because you have such incredible preachers. Touch your neighbor and say, he's talking about me. I mean, with all of you fine preachers and ministries that are out there, I'm just going to try and just tag on and do something. And the Lord's going to bless us a little bit here this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. Book of Acts chapter 16 this morning. While you're turning to it, Acts chapter 16 verses 25 to 36. I'd like to invite you to visit the lobby. There's another book out there that Brother Mitchell has written. It's a putting together of five. Turn to your neighbor and say, only five of my messages. One of them is, we'll keep the lights on for you. That's Motel 6 slogan. And I've chosen to preach that to the church about we'll keep the lights on. And how many know the church needs to keep the lights on? In a dark world of compromise, the church needs to keep the light of holiness and righteousness on for the world to know that there is still an apostolic church. And everybody say amen. Amen. It's only $10. I have a limited amount. So if you would help us, we'd appreciate that. And God bless you. Acts chapter 16 this morning. And when you find it, say amen. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Turn to your neighbor and say, break in. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Everybody say, break out. And verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. Everybody say, breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
Would you raise your right hand and repeat after me? Lord, break in so I can break out so the world can have a breakthrough. Hear me carefully this morning. I literally wrestled in my sleep at 5 o'clock this morning with what to preach. We've heard such awesome messages. We have heard a clear sound in this conference. But I am still amazed as to why we are not experiencing the kind of revival that God has promised the church. We not only have this conference, but I think I heard someone said we have 57 conferences. And no doubt many of us have been to many of them, or even all of them. But yet still, we struggle to have apostolic revival. But this morning, with the help of the Holy Ghost, I am not so much looking to give you hype as I am to give you a solution. I brought some wonderful people from my church and I spent some time with them. And I said, every conference that I'm privileged to attend because of the times, landmark, and now this conference that I'm privileged to be a part of, and thank God that I'm here, I don't just want to hear good preaching. If I came for just good preaching, turn to your neighbor and say, we've got it. We've got some of the greatest preachers in Pentecost. We have some of the greatest preachers on this platform. It's not good preaching we need. We need a sure word from God. We need an understanding of the times that we're living in. We need to know what doth say it, the voice of God in this 11th hour. I'm going to tell you this morning, what we are in need of is a God breaking into our lives. Because I'm going to tell you, if God doesn't break in, we will never break out. And if the church does not break out, the world will never have revival. But I'm going to tell the devil this morning that God is fixing to break in, so that the church can break out. Somebody raise your hand and say, Lord, break in. Break into my world. Break into my church. You may be seated. For so long, we've all read this passage of Scripture. In the book of Acts chapter 16. Where it says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. But this morning, I want you to look at that scripture and understand that there was a reason why Paul and Silas was thrown in prison. When you begin to look at the verses that precede verse 25, you will find from Scripture that Paul and Silas visited the house of a woman called Lydia. And the Bible said that she and her entire household believed the words of the man of God, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, church, that when we preach the message of salvation, people ought to respond in a positive way. There ought to be conversion. Somebody say yes. Not only was Lydia's house converted, but the scripture said a woman that was bound by a spirit of divination came to Paul and Silas, and the Bible said they cast out the devil out of that woman in Jesus' name. Can I tell the church this morning that when we are doing apostolic ministry, devils are going to be cast out? Come on, we need to be known as a church of devil disturbers.
No devil ought to remain in the body of a child of God when we preach apostolic words of God. Somebody shout glory. It's about time that the church begins to upset hell again. It's time for the preachers to take the pulpit and let the devil know we have authority over principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. We need to let the devil know, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Devil, the blood of Jesus Christ is against you. I need somebody to get radical this morning and let the devil know you will not reign in my church. You will not reign in my ministry. God is going to bind you. Come on, somebody shout glory. You may be seated. And because apostolic demonstration was taking place as Paul and Silas preached, the scripture said that the magistrates and those that were in authority became so angry that they took Paul and Silas and stripped them and beat them and cast them into an inner prison. All because they were upsetting hell. I've come to let you know this morning the reason why the devil is upset with our church, with God's people. It's because we are affecting hell. But ladies and gentlemen, don't be intimidated by the devil. We are called to be devil disturbers. Listen to me. Paul and Silas was thrown in prison because Lydia's house was saved. The damsel was delivered from a spirit. And hear me. Our churches today are not experiencing the kind of revival that we should have. Because the adversary is still using this same strategy. He is causing our people to be in prison, in jails that have no bars. They are bound by spirits and they don't even know it. The prison of greed. The prison of higher education. The prison of unavailability has so bound our people that we can't find anybody to teach a Bible study. Nobody to run the bus ministry. Nobody to go and hand out tract. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. The church cannot remain in the condition it's in. And if you and I can't release them from that prison, there is a God that is going to break in and turn them loose. Somebody say, Lord, break in. Hear me, never before in the history of the church are more people finding excuses as to why they can't be involved. They are so bound by greed. They're so bound by the desire to want more stuff that they have no time to do the work of the ministry. If there were prison cells that had bars, we could open the doors. Because God has given us the keys. But the problem with the modern day church is that they're bound and they can't see it. They're bound by materialism. They're bound by their desire to succeed. Their marriages are on the rocks. Their homes are being destroyed. Their morals are being corrupted. They are in prison and they don't even know it. They come to church every Sunday and we preach to people that are in prison with bars that we can't see. God, I am praying for the apostolic ministers that you would open their eyes to see the condition of our churches. They come in with their nice suits and their ties, well dressed, well put together. They have been programmed to sing well. They've adapted the ways of Pentecostalism. They know how to seemingly shout, when to dance. They practice their moves, but they are still bound. But I'm going to tell you this morning, somewhere in our services, God is going to have to hear the cry of the heart of a pastor that is passionate about his congregation. The cry of some man or some woman that's sick and tired of being bound and desires to be set free. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that's sick and tired of a dead church, of a stale ministry? Come on, if you're not having apostolic revival, you need to hear this preacher this morning. God can break in. But hear me. He will only break into churches that invites him in. Can I have two chairs and two men? I don't know where they're going to get them from, but just get me two chairs and two men on that platform. Oh, here it is right here. We'll do this side. Other boss, since I like you, can I use you? I love this man. Great church in Florida. Since this is my brother. Oh Lord. You gonna change him? God knows nobody can change you. Don't we all just love Sam Emery? Paul and Silas were thrown in jail. Come here, my brother. Come here. Bound Sam Hibber's feet. His feet. With my nice tie. It's only a tie. It's stuff. We don't worship stuff. Somebody say, preach it. Boy, he's really binding him. Bind his hand. Here. No. Bind his hand. Leave your tie. That's good. Now listen to me. Paul and Silas. See, you haven't been following me. There's two types of imprisonment. There are those that have visible chains. And then there are those that are bound by stuff. Bars that we cannot
see. They are in the same posture as a person that's in prison. But they have no bars. Our churches have become prison cells, holding people that have no chains. But their posture every time they come to church is a posture of imprisonment. And I'm going to tell you, both of these kind of people can be delivered. In the name of Jesus, I'm telling the devil this morning that we will be delivered. Somebody say yes. Listen to me. Listen to me. Paul and Silas were thrown in prison. You and I have to understand where our people are. And if we are in prison and we seemingly cannot get out by ourselves, we cannot break out because the chains are too thick. They have been well made. Let me tell you, the strategy of the enemy is well put together. He knows how to bind a church. But ladies and gentlemen, God knows how to loose the church. Somebody shout yes. And so, if you and I cannot break out, somebody raise your hand and say, Lord, you break in. Can I tell you? Because God is destined to have an apostolic church. And because He must have an end time revival. And He's not going to use another group. He's not going to use anybody else. We are the people for this hour. He is going to break in. He's going to break in. He's going to break in. He's going to break in. But hear me. Touch your neighbor and say, there's only one way that God will break in. Your feet might be bound. Your hands might be tied. You might be in an inner prison. But at midnight, at the darkest hour of your situation, when the devil says, I got you where I want you. I got your church where I want it. I've got your ministry where I want it. Somebody better open their mouth and begin to pray. Because the prayer of a righteous man avails much. Touch your neighbor and say, pray. Hear me. We can't have churches and have church service and don't have prayer. People ask, why is New Life having revival? Touch your neighbor and say, prayer. Before every service, there's at least an hour to a half an hour of prayer. Midweek service, at least an hour to a half an hour of prayer. All night prayer meetings, it's prayer. You're not going to shout over that, but the gates of hell cannot prevail over prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, get off the golf course, get off the tennis court, stop spending so much time in overtime, and get in the prayer room and pray and seek my face.
good God Almighty, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Turn to your neighbor and say, pray. They prayed. Listen. Things happen when we pray. Things happen when we travail in the Spirit. They prayed. Can I hear you gentlemen pray? That's the kind of prayer you got to pray.
By your power and by your authority, I take dominion over every unclean spirit. Loose every chain. Loose every fetter. By the power of your...
Even while you're bound, pray deliverance. Pray deliverance. Pray victory. Pray yourself through. Pray, 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 Brother Audubon.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we invite you in right now to get us out. We invite you in to break us forth so that we can be delivered to deliver the world. Thank you, Lord, for the delivering power of the name of Jesus.
Come on, church, while you're in your prison, pray, pray, pray. While your marriage is on the rocks, while things are going wrong, keep on praying, keep on praying, keep on praying, keep on praying, keep on praying. If we want apostolic revival, we're going to have to pray. We got to prophesy, Brother Morgan. Prophesy deliverance.
I prophesy deliverance to every person in this building today that will magnify the name of Jesus Christ, that you can go back to your city and deliver those that are bound with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now you got to believe it. You got to believe it. There goes a sure word of prophecy that you're going to be delivered, and your city is going to be delivered, and your church is going to be delivered. Somebody ought to be going crazy in this building. Somebody ought to be out of their seat, running up and down this place, telling the devil, I've got a sure word. Come on, pastor, get out of your seat. Stop looking at your chains. Stop looking at your bondage. Run around this place and proclaim your liberty. Come on. Some pastor in Rhode Island. Some pastor in Massachusetts. Get out of your seat. Keep talking. God's getting ready to break in. God's getting ready to break in. Come on. I said God is getting ready to break in. That's it. Some youth pastor. Some pastor's wife is feeling what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Sit down a little while. Sit down for a minute. Where are my two prisoners at? You can't be loose yet. But sit down. Just sit down. Bind them again. Hear me. Sit down, everybody. They prayed. Then turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Come on, scream it at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. They sang praises. We've talked praises. But we need to start singing the praises of God. Somebody needs to write a song. God is a man of war. I might be bound today, but my God is a deliverer. Come on, somebody say, God is a deliverer. Even in your bound state, even with your chains on, lift your voice and say, I know the Lord is going to make a way somehow, somehow, somehow. Somehow, I'm going to get out of this. Let me tell you something. Hang on. Listen to me.
Brother Morgan, we haven't started to praise God yet. Let me tell you something. I preached to my church last week. Jesus said, if I be lifted up. I want you to note, he said, if. He said, it's somewhere in your noise. It can become more than just a sound. And you actually get to believe in what you're shouting. He said, if I stop magnifying your bondage and lift up Jesus. Stop magnifying church problems, church splits, financial crisis, and lift up Jesus. Somebody needs to get out of their seat and literally scream with destiny. Shout with destiny. Shout with destiny. You didn't hear me. You're looking at me. But if your church is bound and your spirit is bound and you got a problem in your home, raise your hands and shout out of your situation. Now hang on a second. Listen to me. Remain standing. Sit down. Listen to me. If you want God to break in. Now the question is, how many of you want God to break in? Good. Now if you know your shout is not of a response to Brother Mitchell. You shouted because you got some chains that you want to snap. Do you know every time you clap your hand, it makes the sound as the snapping of chains? Clap your hand, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of deliverance. The voice of deliverance. The voice of deliverance. Purpose driven shout. Loose chains. Purpose driven shout. Set people free. Somebody shout. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. God's getting ready to break in. God's getting ready to break in. But you're going to have to shout. You're going to have to shout. God breaks in to people that praise Him. People that worship Him. Somebody say, Lord, break in. I'm running out of time. Let me continue here. Listen to me. Listen to me. At midnight, everybody say at midnight. Paul and Silas sang praises unto God. Sit down, Emery. And, everybody say and. See, you're not done shouting yet, you know. Listen, if there is going to be a great revival, it cannot happen until the prisoners hear you. Hold it. Don't say nothing yet. What the problem is with the church is that we are in prison just like the world. And the second part of the problem, Brother Morgan, we are doing exactly what they're doing. We're charging God foolishly. We're spending less time in the prayer room. We're spending more time on the job. We are addicted and committed to money. They are watching us work the same amount of hours like them. Charge the same amount of stuff like them. To talk about junk food and health, but we're doing the same things the world is doing. But somebody needs to pray and sing praises until the prisoners hear you. Your co-workers hear you. The church next door hear you. Your boss hears you. Your family members that are not saved hear you. They must see your chains, but hear your shout. Come on, come on. How are they going to come in if we don't act differently than them? Listen to me. Hang on. Sit down. They sang praises unto God until the prisoners heard them. They became beside themselves. They started going nuts in their bondage. I wish I had time to preach this thing. They were going crazy even though their legs were restricted. Their hands were bound. But they had a voice. They could prophesy deliverance. They could sing praise unto God. And when the Lord heard their shout and heard their cry, since they could not break out, they were bound in their prison and they could not come out. Give me a little roar on the keyboard, sister. The Bible said all of a sudden there was a shaking. Ladies and gentlemen, don't stop praying. Don't stop singing until there is a shaking in the foundation of the prison. No, sister, I need me a rumbling thing. Turn that keyboard up. Hit the bass down. Give me a rumbling. Ladies and gentlemen, God is about to break in. Somebody say, Lord, break in. Break in. Break in. Now hear me. The scripture said, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and every man's band was loose. Listen to me. Somebody go to every door. Somebody go to every door. You're standing there, push that door open. Push the back doors open. Push the side doors open. Listen to me. Hang on, Pierre. Listen to me. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, if the doors are open, check your feet. God never opens a door to bound people. If the doors are open, your feet are loose. Your feet is loose. Free to worship. Free to praise. Free to walk through the open door. I wish somebody would run around this building and run in and out of the open door. Run, pastors. The door is open. The door is open. The door is open. The door is open. Run, pastor. Run, pastor. The financial doors are open. The doors of deliverance are open. Run. My God is more than enough. He'll supply all your needs. What are you looking at me for, pastor? Get out of your seat. Head to the open door. Head to the open door. Run to the open door. Behold, I lay before you an open door. Nobody can shut it. Nobody can stop you. Hang on a second. Now listen to me. Every man of God, listen to me. Every pastor, line up down the front of this church. God told me to do this today. Run quickly. Is every door open in this building? Because some of you don't understand that when God sets your congregation free, don't let Him do it in vain. If the doors are open and your bondage has been released, you need to show God what you're going to do next. Stop looking at the open doors. Stop wondering, is the door open? Stop wondering if when you head to the door, it's going to shut in your face. I say unto you, walk through those doors. Walk through those doors. So hear me, pastors. You're going to take two laps around this building. They're going to sing, "My God is more than enough." Because I'm telling you, as you go, whatever door was shut in your face, Brother Huddleball, whatever door the devil said you cannot have access to, as you go through that door, Brother Morgan, prophesy what's going to happen to them.
When you go through that door, there's spirits that have bound your church that are going to break off of it. Finances. Some of you come fighting spirits of immorality in your church. The angels of the Lord are about to come now. The strong spirits that have bound, but the strong angels that are coming into this area. I sense Michael and the archangel and the angels of the Lord coming. You guys right there, start. Run through that door. Run around it. Come on, you're like Joshua. Come on, sing it. He will supply. Sing it, church. Shout, pastors. Shout. Shout. The open door. Come on, say it. Pick up your feet and say, "Devil, we're walking through the open door. We're walking through the open door." Everybody, pick up your feet. Turn towards the door and say, "Devil, I'm walking towards the door." Somebody shout glory. Now let me wrap this thing up. Listen to me carefully. Hang on, musicians. Where are my two prisoners at? They're busy running through the door. Come back here. Everybody say, "Break out!" Let me tell you what's going to happen on the Northeast. God's getting ready to break in. Somebody say, "Break in," so that we can break out. We witnessed 331 people getting the Holy Ghost last year. I'm talking about a breakout. Now listen to me. Give me 5 more minutes and I'm going to wrap this thing up. Pastors, every one of you look at me. Saints, look at me. After
Paul and Silas was loose. You say, Brother Mitchell, where did the breakthrough come from? They were loose. Everybody say, they were loose. Pastor Petoskey, they were loose.
Yes, sir.
They could have run to the open door. They could have left the scene of their deliverance. Hear me. When you go home and preach this to your church, that you're commanding them to be delivered, turn to them and tell them you are delivered with an assignment. We have too many people coming to our church, get their deliverance, and forget the assignment. After you are delivered, you have a responsibility to the keeper. Turn to your neighbor and say, hear it. Don't just run towards the open door and forget the keeper. Remember the people who put you in prison. Don't forget the brother down the street that binds you. Remember, every time somebody imprisons you or binds you, they have a greater chain on them. They are ambassadors of the devil, and they themselves need deliverance. Somebody say yes. And so, when they attempted to walk towards the open door, start walking towards the open door. You're the keeper of the prison. Go stop. Yell out, stop. Stop! Where are you going? We're headed for the door. We're headed towards the rapture. I hear the world saying, don't leave me. Please don't leave me. Hear me, church. When we are delivered, there is going to be a cry from the world. Don't leave me. Listen to me, gentlemen. Come. I'm telling you, I struggled all night last night. I woke up at 5 in the morning struggling with this thing. And God told me to tell you, when you get your deliverance and you get your breakthrough, don't let it be like the last breakthrough I did for you. When I bring you out, find somebody else. Once I break into your church and deliver you from your financial struggles and deliver your congregation from habits of ungodliness, don't forget the world. Somebody say yes. I got to stop. But when the keeper said, where are you going? Paul opens his mouth and he says with a loud voice,
what is that? Do thyself no harm.
For we
are all here.
Did you hear me? Not do thyself no harm, for we too are here. When the church is delivered, everybody that's in prison with you, that heard you sing, that heard you pray, is going to be delivered also. Everybody say yes! He said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he sprang for a light. And he brought Paul and Silas. Come with me. Into his house. And he gathered his family. 10 of you come. He's gathered his family and household around him. And as he washed their stripes, they poured in oil into his soul. Hear me, church. It's a joint ministry. As they wash our stripes, we're going to be pouring oil that Brother Mangan preached about last night into their soul. Everybody yell out, breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
Hallelujah.
He's not talking about.